We rise. We continue our series of sermon texts which come from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. We turn to chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." This is God's word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The power of persuasion is a great power. And for Christians, it's an intimidating thought. We know we should spread the gospel. We know we should give a defense for the hope that is in us. But how often are we able to persuade other people to believe? We figure we've said the wrong thing, we've done the wrong thing, and pretty soon we give up. We think the power of persuasion just is not in us. What you have here before you is a baptismal font. It has 8 sides. It's made of wood. Now, I don't know much about the wood or how to build it, but I do know something about what's inside. What's inside is what really matters. Inside is something as big as the world itself. The greatest wisdom, the greatest power, the greatest thing that the world has ever witnessed is inside. Yes, we could say it's as big as the world itself, or even bigger. Now, how am I going to persuade you to believe that? How might I convince you that what I'm saying is true? Today, God is here to persuade you. To persuade you with great power. To persuade you so that you might turn around and persuade someone else. The method is simple. The message needs to be uncovered. And the results are Spirit-given. The power of persuasion is a great power. And many would say it takes years of practice to learn. People spend years trying to learn how to become effective public speakers. And if you've ever sat in front of an effective motivational speaker, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's the power of persuasion. How many here had a chance to see or listen to the debate that went on at the Creation Museum this last week? Anybody? There was a debate at the Creation Museum in Cincinnati that pitted the belief of creation against the belief of evolution. It was a debate between Ken Ham, a creationist and founder of Answers in Genesis, who works at the Creation Museum, and Bill Nye, the science guy, an evolutionist. The debate was between Ken Ham, who presented the idea that you could practice science under a biblical belief in a six-day creation and the fall into sin. Bill Nye, on the other hand, argued that this can't be done. You can't practice science properly with the belief in a creator God, because the evidence, he would claim, points in the opposite direction. That the universe is the result of random chance, that we've all descended from one primordial substance, and that death is a natural part of evolution. You could go online if you want to find out more about this. There's various views about who won the debate. Some say it was Bill Nye. Some say he was more persuasive, more flashy, more style, more convincing, more pushy. Whereas Ham seemed to look at his laptop more. He was a little more reserved, soft-spoken. He didn't have the polka dot bow tie. Who won? What would the critics say of the Apostle Paul, do you suppose? He faced many debates. He addresses a congregation in Corinth, and Corinth was a city known for its great philosophers and the persuasion of oratory, what we're doing right now. He faces off with men well-trained in public speaking. He does battle with the persuasive arguments of human reason, human wisdom, and human philosophy. Paul wasn't a motivational speaker. He wasn't flashy. In fact, I picture him a lot more like you and me. As you read in our text, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Like Paul, we tremble at the thought of trying to talk to somebody else about our faith. He was no great philosopher. He was no motivational speaker. He was an apostle. An apostle who was determined to do one thing, to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, don't get me wrong. Ken Ham did a wonderful job. He was very well prepared, very organized, and he presented his thoughts very well. But we should remember, it's not about the polka dot bow tie that Bill Nye was wearing. It's not about making the crowds laugh. It's not about being flashy or the best speaker. Rather, it's about keeping the spotlight on one thing, this font, and the mysterious thing that's hidden inside. So if you've ever been nervous, if you've ever trembled at the thought of talking to somebody else about Jesus, about your faith, then you have the right approach. You're just like Paul. Because it's in our fear, our trembling, our weakness that the power of God becomes the central focus. That is to say, God persuades sinners to believe, not by the wisdom of men, but by the power of Christ and Him crucified. The method is simple. I think we can agree, however, that it's really more than method or style that makes an effective public speaker. A good public speaker needs a compelling message. So how would I go about convincing you that what's hidden away in this baptismal font has the power to change the world? I could describe what it is. I could describe the shape, the dimensions, the substance that it's made of. And yet, even if I did all this, you wouldn't believe me. Because the message is hidden. It can't be measured. It can't be quantified. It can't be reasoned. And we call it a mystery. something that needs to be uncovered. Even if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. And that's because our natural way of thinking is all based on observation. It's those basic elements of learning. Seeing, hearing, reasoning. These are the basic elements that we're used to finding confidence in. What we can measure. What we can quantify. And so if I've never heard it, if I've never seen it, if I've never reasoned it, you are going to have a tough time trying to convince me. This is really why Bill Nye ended up unpersuaded. You see, Bill Nye was confronted with something that really he had no evidence for. This was demonstrated in two questions that came from the audience. The first question was, if indeed the Big Bang is true, then where did we get the matter needed to create the Big Bang in the first place? Where did matter come from in the first place? And secondly, the question was asked, if we are all products of matter, then where did conscience come from? In both cases, Nye's response was, this is a great mystery. I'm serious. That was his answer to these two fundamental questions. He couldn't say what created matter. He couldn't say why we have a conscience that knows right and wrong. In both cases, Ham's response was great. Ham responded, Bill, let me tell you, there's a book out there. There's a book out there that tells the origin of matter, the origin of conscience, the origin of life, the origin of family, the origin of marriage, the origin of death. There's a book out there, it's called the Bible, that gives us documentation of where all these things come from. Was he persuasive? Maybe not. Many will see Nye's presentation, his message, as more persuasive. After all, evolution is the majority opinion. It fills our public schools. It's the opinion that dominates the media, and it even shapes the decisions of our own government. Who's going to be persuaded by the claim that the Bible is the truth? It's only natural. It's only natural to trust in what we see, what we hear, and what we reason. This is what we're used to. It's only natural to suppose that the power of persuasion is not out there, but it's in here. It's only natural to think that I am the one in control. I can do enough. I can say enough. I can reason enough to persuade. To persuade even God himself. Because even if you did accept a six-day creation, a creator God, we're still left unpersuaded of what's in this baptismal font. We're still left thinking it's going to be up to us to persuade God to like us, to accept us, to bring us to heaven, because it leaves us with our own wisdom. But, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So, has the majority opinion always been right? It was the majority of opinion that crucified the Lord of glory. It was the majority opinion of the crowds, of the Jewish government, and of the Roman government, the biggest power in the world in that day. The majority said, crucify him. And so Bill Nye's response is correct. This is a mystery. The message of salvation is a mystery that needs to be uncovered. It needs to be uncovered so that we can witness what God has prepared for those who love Him. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and it's hidden in this baptismal font. So have I persuaded you? Have I convinced you that what's inside here is the greatest wisdom, the greatest power, the greatest thing the world has ever known? Have I convinced you that what's in here is as big as the world itself? I'm starting to think the power of persuasion just isn't in me. And that's right. That's exactly the point. It's not. All I'm left to do is to uncover the font. And yes, there is water here, but there's also a cross. For I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God's power of persuasion produces results, but they're results that can only be given by God's Spirit, by uncovering what God has done and letting the Spirit do the work. But God has revealed these things to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Here is the answer. The cross of Christ standing in the waters of baptism. This is the power that persuades. In fact, this is the power that persuades God Himself. The cross is the power that persuades God to forgive you, to forgive all of your sins. And baptism is the means by which He brings this to you, to wash you and cleanse you, and to give His Holy Spirit to you. For no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit, in John 3. God is persuaded. When the cross is uncovered, the sins of the world are covered. It is as big as the world itself. From the greatest sin to the least of your sins, it has all been paid for by the cross of Jesus Christ. And these are the gifts freely given. It persuades God to accept you into His kingdom. It gives to God as He views that water and that cross and sees you. He sees a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, that exceeds all people. It persuades God to right everything that has gone wrong, to solve all the world's problems, to bring forth a new creation, to bring you to the resurrection of Christ, by which all things are made new. It is the power that takes hold of you, that does indeed change hearts and lives. It produces results, because in the love of God, hidden in this mystery, we are persuaded to live a new life. Yes, we fall into sin, but we strive against it because the Spirit is working in us. We repent. And that cross stands in the font, persuading us to think no longer about ourselves, but to think about Christ and the needs of others, the needs of the hungry, the needs of the homeless, the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters that are sitting around us. And so we let our light shine that God may be glorified. For He has revealed those deep things of God to us through His Spirit, freely. You're right. The power to persuade just isn't in us. But that's the perfect starting point for evangelism. Because it's here, in our weakness and trembling, that the cross of Christ becomes our glory. It is a simple message. It's a message that needs to be uncovered. We can do nothing more than uncover the cross and open our Bible and show people what God has done for us, taking away our sins, redeeming us, and giving us a new creation. And when it comes to results, don't think of yourself or your abilities, but trust what the Spirit alone gives through the Word. In Jesus' name, Amen.